want to add to Michael and Lee's thoughts on mothers this morning, if you are in here celebrating, or if you are having a difficult day because Mother's Day is hard sometimes, know that you're with us and we're praying for you and asking God to strengthen you. I woke up this morning thanking God for all the women in my life that have been, I don't want her to hear this. I got a great mother-in-law and a great mother. And there are three or four of you in this room that are kind of my surrogate mamas, who I love as much as anybody. And so for all that you have done for me, for your family, I'm so grateful. But then I think of others, and you were the ones I prayed over more this morning before I woke or got out of bed, who this is a hard day because you've recently lost your mother, or you want to be a mom more than anything else. And so know that you were in your preacher's heartfelt prayers this morning, and I pray that God will give you the answers that you need. And know that you've got a church that is always here to support you. Okay, we're going to talk about prayer some more. I've mentioned this before when I have preached on the subject of prayer, that of all the spiritual disciplines, prayer is the one that I struggle with probably the most. And some of you are going to say, that seems kind of odd when our preacher has trouble praying. And it's not that I have trouble praying, it's that it just doesn't come as natural. For me to sit in a recliner or sit in my office chair and open up the Bible, that is second nature. And there are few things I'd rather do in this life than sit in a chair and read my Bible. But for me to put that Bible down and say, what does God need me to say to Him, is a little more difficult. In fact, it's one of those things that I actually schedule. And I know that sounds kind of weird. And after a couple of weeks ago, you know I schedule just about everything. But I schedule prayer time because that doesn't come as easy and as natural to me. And I love what Michael is doing with this 752. It's helping you schedule prayer time with your family. And I hope it is improving not only your relationship with your children, but your relationship with your God as well. The first P in our little acronym of prayer stands for praise. Praise is a great word. The other day, though, as I was writing this sermon, I was thinking, why does God need us to praise Him? Yeah, I'm going to take it from my perspective. I like to be praised. If Nikki wants to put her husband in a good mood, she will praise him. She'll get up in the morning and say, my, you look good this morning, and then she puts on her glasses and we go on from there. But there's something about praise that just makes you feel good. And so I got to thinking, why does God need to feel good? Does God need some ego boost? Does God need His children to look up at Him and say, God, you are great and you are wonderful and we are so lucky? Does God need it for Him? Or does God need for us to say it? And I think the perspective I like us to take this morning is God doesn't need some pat on the back. God doesn't need His ego boosted. God doesn't need to lean back in His celestial recliner and say, oh, it's so good that my kids love me. God needs His people to know that He's God. And a lot of that stems from praise. I believe there are reasons why our prayers should contain praise. Now, a lot of people say you should start your prayer with praise. And I don't care how you start your prayer. I just care that you pray. But praise to God is ultimately an acknowledgement of His excellence. One of my favorite things to do every morning is I spend a little time in prayer, but then I also spend a little time in the Psalms. And for me, the Psalms is kind of the prayer book of the early church. And there's so much in there that David and other authors say that is just so powerful. And so much of what you'll hear the next 2 weeks is really from the book of Psalms. But David will say in Psalm 18, I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. Now that may not look like much right off the context, but when I think of that psalm, I think David is saying, here is the God I serve. Here is the God who is worthy of praise. Here is the God who saves. And when I pray, and particularly when I praise God in prayer, and I'm going to tell you in a second, you don't just do it through prayer, but when I praise God through prayer, I remind myself of God's excellence. And that there is nothing even close. What's interesting is throughout the Bible, we are called to praise. Israel was called to praise throughout the Old Testament. God's people as the church were called to praise. The writer of Hebrews says in verse 15 of chapter 13, through Him Then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge His name. Notice what he says, let us continually offer up this sacrifice of praise to God. See, there's something about us praising. There's something about those moments when our hearts are full, and ultimately praise comes out of a heart that is full of love toward God, that pours out from us, and we love because we have realized the great love that He has had upon us. One of my favorite Old Testament verses is from Deuteronomy chapter 6, and Jesus will kind of quote, paraphrase this a little bit, but God tells Moses to tell Israel this, "The Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." That here in these kind of repeating of commandments, you've got Moses saying, here's what it's all about. That we're going to understand who God is, and we are going to love God with all of our hearts, and with all of our soul, and with all of our might. And out of that, praise comes naturally. I find that when I love something with all of my heart, it's pretty easy and it flows naturally to praise those things. Whether it's the women in my life, whether it's my child, whether it's the church that I serve, whether it's the God who has saved me. There is this understanding and this realization that naturally, because of the great love I have for whatever that is, the good things that come out of my mouth are praiseworthy. And I think it needs to be that way with our God. That as we spend time praying, and as we spend time singing, and as we spend time thanking God for all that He has done, we have a natural outflowing of praise that says, here is our great God, and here is all that He has done. What I find interesting is, I believe there is a great connection between praise and thankfulness. Because the moment I start praising for God for what He's done is the moment I also start saying thank you for what God has done. But think about that in your own life for a second. Why is praise a bigger deal than thanks? Okay, which would have worked better this morning at your house? If you would have rolled, okay, David, which would have worked better? If you'd have rolled over and looked at Shanna and said, Shanna, thanks for being a mom. Or if David would have rolled over and said, Shanna, you are the best mom Sarah could have ever asked for. You are wonderful. You are the helper. If it wasn't for you, Sarah would be a mess and Sarah would be just like me. And praise God, she's not. Which would have worked better? One or two? Two is the right answer. So thank you for saying two. Isn't there a bigger difference? I mean, I love to hear thank you, but there's something about being praised. And I hope you praise those that are around you that you love and those that are around you are important, because there's a serious connection there. And it's good for me to be the one who praises. So how do you do it? Okay, I think when we limit praise to just prayer, we are missing out on a few things. For instance, my guess is a whole bunch of us are going to be either humming or singing all week long how deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure. I mean, so often when I find myself, whether I'm walking through the halls of this building and there's nobody else here, or I'm laying in bed and I can't sleep, I start singing these songs that remind me of who God is and what God has done. Or I can walk the little course that goes down by our house, and I can walk through the park and I see the trees and I hear the birds and I hear the people laughing. And I'm reminded of the goodness of our God. But some of you might be saying, where do I begin? How can I start praising God? You've already started kind of a new journey on trying to pray with your kids and to pray with your spouse and to pray on a more regular basis, but how can you insert praise into that? Well, first, let me say, I think you can praise God for a multitude of things, but let me give you a few. I think first we ought to start in our praise to praise God for His holiness and for His mercy, His justice, and His love. Okay, one of my favorite Old Testament stories is the story from 2 Chronicles chapter 20. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat is about to battle with the Moabites and the Ammonites. So he's about to go to battle with two of the bad guys. One of our kids shared a goldfish cracker with me, and I can't get the taste out of my mouth. I either need another one or that's 100 years old. Okay, so let me Let me get the saliva out and tell you about Jehoshaphat. This is my favorite story in the Old Testament about a king other than David. David's my favorite king, and Jehoshaphat's king number two on my list of favorite kings. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, he's about to go to battle, and he says, okay, here's the plan. Now, his plan is weird. His plan is, let's get all the song leaders and put them in the front. Not the warriors, not the soldiers, not the guys who are great at battle. He gets Wayne and Reuben and Kent and Jacob and Aaron, and he lines those five guys up and he says, boys, start singing. And that's how he starts the battle. And I think that's significant, and I think that is powerful, because Jehoshaphat is saying, we are not going to win the battle because our soldiers are great. We are going to win the battle because our God is. And in the midst of that praise, and in the midst of that songs that are going out from those song leaders of Israel, there is this great choir then that starts to follow them. And here's what it says. And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire. And they went before the army and said, give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. So the choir is singing, the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. So the choir is standing up saying, here is our God, and here is what he's done. Here is who he is, and here is what he's going to be. And if you want to start figuring out how to praise your God, start with his character and realize that he indeed is a God who loves and who's holy. The psalmist says in Psalm 99, let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is he. The king in his might loves justice, and you have established equity, and you have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Notice what he says, he is holy. And when I think of God, one of the first things that comes to my mind is his perfection and his excellence and his holiness. And after I've experienced those things through who his nature is, there's nothing else I can do but praise him for being those things. And it's not to give him some pat on the back, and it's not to stroke his ego, but it's to say, here is the great God I serve. But then I think we can also praise for God's grace. When Paul is praying a prayer in Ephesians chapter 1, he starts off most of his books with a prayer. He says in the midst of that prayer, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has blessed us in the Beloved. Then Paul's looking at the Ephesian church and saying, if I'm going to praise God, one of the things I'm going to have in that group is I'm going to praise him for what he's done and the fact that through his grace, he has forgiven. We can praise God for his goodness. The psalmist says in Psalm 135, verse 3, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing to his name, for his name is pleasant. God is good, and God is good all the time. That in the midst of our world where we don't see a whole lot of goodness, in the midst of our world where things seem to go from bad to worse sometimes, we can be reminded in moments of praise, in moments of song, in moments of meditation as we walk through a forest, that our God is good, and we are privileged to have him as our Father. Then we can praise God for his kindness. I love Psalm 117. Psalm 117 reads like this. He says, praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples, for great is his steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. His faithfulness is there. His steadfast love is there. His kindness and his display of who he is always there for us to hear and to see and to feel. That makes it easy to praise. And then I think we need to praise God for saving us. One of my favorite chapters in all of the Bible is Ephesians 2. And toward the end of the first section, he says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it's the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one can boast. When I realize all that God has done, pretty easy to praise. I believe this kind of praise can be offered anytime and anywhere. So let me give you two examples from yesterday. I've been trying to figure out how to praise God better so I can preach it to you. And yesterday I got the privilege of playing golf at a little course in Albuquerque that sits along the mountains. And I'll be honest, I was playing with a decent group of guys, but none of them are my closest friends, and so I had at least some time to myself. And I couldn't help but look at mountains and green grass and mesquite bushes and cactus and praise God for what he's done. And then we got in a car and came back late last night. And if you remember last night, there were thunderstorms kind of going on all around us. And we're driving from Vaughan to Roswell, which is usually the longest period of purgatory any of us will ever have to go through. And so we're driving from Vaughan, but yet the clouds and the rainbows and the colors and the rain and everything that was unbelievable. And there I am sitting in the truck watching all of this happen, thinking, how great is our God? And it wasn't necessarily a moment of prayer, and it wasn't necessarily a moment of song, but it was certainly a moment when one of God's children looked out into the world he was in and said, my God is unbelievable. Because that's what praise does. His praise reminds us that our God is unbelievable. Now, I think a few things happen when we praise. Michael last week said prayer changes things. We're going to talk about that more next week when we talk about these requests that we're going to make. But this week, I want you to think, last week was prayer changes things. This week, prayer changes me. Okay? Here's why. When I praise, I realize who God is. I realize his greatness, and I realize his power, and I realize his love, and I realize all of these attributes of God that are so crucial to our understanding of who he is. I realize those things, but I also realize something else. I realize who I am. I realize that I am broken, and I realize there have been moments in my life when I am messed up, and I realize there are moments when, like kids have done to their mamas, I have broken the heart of God. And I have done things that God has looked at, and I'm sure just like a mama looks at her child, he would have tears flowing down his face thinking, why isn't he doing this better? So I remember who I am. I remember where I've been. I remember those times when God got me through in spite of. I remember those times when maybe I even felt the disciplining hand of God as he tried to correct and mold me into what he wants me to be. And I remember those moments when God has lifted me out of the darkest points and pointed me toward him and toward his son. I realize all of those moments, and I realize where I've been, and I realize where I'm going. Because my journey doesn't stop here. My journey's not going to end in a casket that gets buried 8 feet under. My journey's going to end when I stand before God and God says, you are my child, and by my grace and by your baptism I have forgiven you, and you are mine. Now enter into the joy of your master. And I'm going to walk through figurative pearly gates, and I don't know if we really do that, but we're going to walk through figurative pearly gates and we're going to be home. I realize where I'm going. And ultimately, I realize who got me through it all. God doesn't need the ego boost. God doesn't need the pat on the back. God needs me to realize that it's not all about me. Next week, we're going to talk about requests. And what I fear is here is how we have talked about prayer. We have said prayer is, God, you're good. God, thank you. And then we give him 16 pages of essays about the things we want and the things we need. And I think those things are important. But I need to realize that prayer starts not with me as the center, but with him as the center. See, praise in the midst of my prayer and in the midst of my life helps me focus on what he wants me to be, not who I want to be and not what I think I should be or what I want, but on what he wants and what he wants today and what he wants tomorrow and what he wants for the rest of my life. So we've asked one of our men who I think leads a beautiful prayer to come and pray a prayer of praise to our God through us as the community of God's people. So Barry, would you come and lead us?
Let's praise God. God, we praise you for being you, Father. We praise you for your excellence in all things. We praise you for being perfectly righteous. We praise you for being all-powerful, able to intervene in our lives and in this world to accomplish anything. Father, we praise you for being everywhere at the same time, always close. Father, we praise you for being the very definition of love, for loving us so much that you sacrificed your own Son on our behalf, that we might have salvation. Father, we thank you for our salvation. We thank you for that hope that we have, the assurance that we have, that gives us the very reason to live, Father. Father, we thank you and praise you for the body of believers that we call the church the world over. Father, we thank you and praise you for the body of believers that worship here together. Father, we praise you for what this body of believers here accomplished by encouraging one another and as a community praising you and glorifying you. Father, we praise you for our earthly family, for fathers, for mothers, for children, for grandchildren. We especially today thank you for the mothers who mean so much to all of us, for all they accomplish. Father, we feel inadequate when we praise you this way. We can't praise you enough, Father. We pray through Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Barry. When I was teaching BBS last year, I did one of the characters that would have the kids cycle through. And I'm going to be 100% honest. I always dread when the three-year-olds come to the character room. I had some pretty hard stories I was supposed to try to tell a three-year-old. And I don't know how to tell stories to a three-year-old outside of cute, fun stories. And so I'm sitting there on the three-year-olds, and the three-year-olds are funny. They like to be close to you. And so I have them sit along the wall in the big giant classroom, and I sit on the other wall, and they start inching as a mass. And if you've ever seen our three-year-olds at BBS, we got like 600,000 of them. I mean, there's like 40, but that feels like 600. So they're inching. And before I know it, I mean, literally, I've got one on each knee, and I got two hanging on my shoulder, and one that's licking my ear. I don't know what she was doing. And the one little girl says, "I'm free." That's three, for those who haven't had little kids. "And I'm this big," and she measured her shoulders. Not knowing what to do and wanting her away, I said, "How big is your God?" She leaned back, and I thought she was going to dislocate her shoulders and say, "He is this big." She got it. I hope we get it too. If you were here this morning and you need a God that is that big, our three-year-olds get it, and I hope our preacher gets it, and I know a lot of people in and out of this room get it. So if you need somebody's help, if you need somebody's prayer, if you need somebody's guidance, if you just need someone to talk to and get you through a trying moment, we are always here, because our God is that great. So if you need us, let us know as we stand and as we sing. Ready?